Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from a rainy Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is the one and only Scarycast. We've got a great show lined up for you. It's going to be a lot of fun. And this is Dr. John Stamey. I'm glad to be here. We've got a lot of new listeners I've been speaking with for like the last all day today. So we've got a lot of new listeners. Thanks for being here from the Carolinas and Georgia and Kentucky. So anyway, we're so glad to have all of our new listeners here with us. And so now to introduce our co-hosts. First of all, from the Midlands of South Carolina, the Surgeon General of Scarycast, Dr. Dunaway. How are you doing tonight, Dr. Trey?
Doing fine, John. Beautiful day in the Midlands today.
We are glad you're here. This is going to be a very interesting show. And from Houston, Texas, Kyler Smith is here. How are you doing tonight, Kyler?
Doing great. Yeah, it was a good day over here, too.
Yeah, well, for some reason it was cloudy and rainy here, but that's okay. We still love Myrtle Beach. You can't say enough good about it. So anyway, tonight, and we've got Robin McRae. She'll be coming in a moment. She's doing some consulting with a nice person. So she'll be with us tonight, and we might have a very special new co-host. Hopefully he will make it. But anyway, tonight we have a friend of mine, a guy that's been a friend of mine for about 4 years now, and his name is Spencer Fisher. He was at one point one of the top three, if not top two, MMA fighters in the world. And I met him at the Space Expo, where I was one of the featured speakers there about 4 years ago. And he and I have been friends. He has been our guest twice on the World UFO Day program that Scarycast used to do. And we might have to do one again because it's good to have Spencer around. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce to you my buddy and a really good guy and a very exciting person for the paranormal world, Spencer Fisher. How you doing tonight, buddy?
Doing well, thank you. Hope all is well on the other side as well.
Yeah, it's going great, and I think our co-hosts are doing well. So first of all, tell everybody just a little bit about yourself, you know, what you've done over the years, and you've got a beautiful studio up there in Silva. So tell us just a little bit about what you have done and what you're doing now.
Okay, well, I'm from a place called Cashers, North Carolina. It's up in the mountains, western North Carolina, and it's about an hour from Silva. And I was born and raised in a one-stop light town, and fell in love with martial arts as a youth. I was raised by my grandparents, and seen the UFC on TV like everyone else, and thought, hey, I could do that. So my wife and I packed up our bags, and we moved to Iowa to give it a shot. And I was a 17-time UFC vet from 2005 to 2012. And now I run a gym in Silva, North Carolina, called Glory Martial Arts and Fitness.
Well, that's great. We're so glad to have you. And I want to tell everyone how I met you. I was at the Space Expo. I had done my talk, and Mike Barra of Ancient Aliens did his talk. And so we were table buddies there at that event. He had his books, and I had my books. I had my first edition of Look Up in the Sky, Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies. And you and your wife, I will never forget it, y'all came over toward our table. I said, well, that's probably Ancient Aliens fans. And you guys made a beeline to my side of the table. You sat down, talked, and we've been friends ever since. And I can't thank you enough for, you know, wanting to get to know me and some of the crazy things that I do. And by the way, before I get going, the queen of ScaryCast is here, Robin McRae. How are you doing tonight?
I am good. I'm so sorry I was late. We had a slight neighborhood emergency, and I got hung up a few minutes. But I'm here now. I am excited about this show, and I do apologize, guys.
That's okay. We're so glad to have you. Anyway, we were just introducing Spencer. He's from Sylvan, North Carolina. He's an accomplished MMA artist. And Spencer, do you agree with me that MMA is an art, first of all?
Absolutely. It's the truest form of martial arts. You know, it's the it goes back to the Greek times, you know, where they had wrestling and the gladiators. You know, it's a tried and true sport, and it's the fastest growing sport in the world today.
Well, that's great. And anyway, I was telling, and I'll catch Robin up with this, when I was up at the Space Expo and I had finished my talk, Mike Barra was there with Ancient Aliens, and you and your wife, when we both got to our table, we were table buddies, you guys came over and talked to me, and we've been friends ever since, because I really respect some of the great things that you have done. Your interest in the paranormal world is wonderful, and I'm so glad that that you have that interest. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you became an aficionado of paranormal.
Well, I came off as a skeptic. I never believed in it. And kind of a funny story, my martial arts instructor was in Asheville, and his dad was Neil Freer, who had wrote several books about ancient aliens and stuff like that. And one time, you know, back in the 90s, they were watching the Alien Autopsy in the gym. And I went up and I was like, oh, you guys are watching that? Next thing you know, you'll believe in Sasquatch. And I just never gave it a second thought. And then Stephen Greer came to Asheville, and my buddy told me about this, and he said, what if I told you aliens existed? And I was like, well, I wouldn't believe it. And he said, what if you heard astronauts or presidents, former presidents? I'm like, well, yeah, I'd believe it, but they never have. And he said, but they have. And so we went to this conference that Dr. Greer gave, and he had testimony from Edgar Mitchell and us other astronauts. And I started, you know, paying attention to the subject. And then fast forward out to Iowa, my wife and I were dropping my daughter off at a private school. We were coming back, and she said, look at that light. And she said, it's been following us, or it's been in my sight of view for the past 20 minutes. And I thought it was one of those towers that had the blinking light. I'm like, that's a tower. And she said, no, it's not. And we were watching it, and we pulled the car over off the Interstate 80 in Iowa, and we pulled off to the side of the road, and I got out, and we were looking at it, and I'm like, well, it's not a pole. And my daughter was in the car with us, said, let me see. And we both turned around and told her no, that she couldn't get out, and we looked back, and it was gone. And it blew my mind, and I'm like, what in the world? And then I know it sounds crazy, then it appeared on the same side of the highway that we were on. And it was just, it blew my mind, and I never looked back since. I mean, once you have the first-hand experience such as that, it leaves an impression that you can't shake.
It certainly does. That sounds like an experience that I had with my parents. We were driving along. This is in my book, Look Up in the Sky. And it's called The UFO on Highway 18. We were just driving along Interstate 40, and I looked up, and there was a green, luminous, cigar-shaped UFO. It was terrifying. And both my parents saw it, and when we got home, we would always sit at the table and just talk about the day. And I said, Dad, what did you think about that UFO? And he said, Son, we are not going to talk about that. And I can tell you that I got the impression that when he was on the Burma Road in World War II, that he must have had some kind of a strange experience with UFOs. That's the only reason that he would have shut that conversation down. And we never talked about it again. You know, when my dad said, son, we're not going to talk about it, that's it. So I understand, you know, I really do understand where you're coming from. And Stephen Greer, now I've got to say this. When I was up at the Space Expo, there were a number of people. I had to go on back because I had an event the next day on Sunday. But a number of those people talked about going to do a raising of the lights and that you were going to do it. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
About the Stephen Greer CD5 protocol?
Yes.
Yeah, well, we have done it with my students. Like I said, we have gone up to the Thomas Divide here in Cherokee, where I live. It's about 30 minutes from where I live at the Cherokee Reservation. And we took about 10 of my students, and we went up there to look at these lights. They are very similar to the Brown Mountain lights. I don't know if you're familiar with those or not, but I went out to the Brown Mountain lights and sat for 3 or 4 hours and never seen a thing. And my friend said, hey, if you come out to the Thomas Divide, you'll see these lights. You don't have to go all the way to the Brown Mountain. And I'm like, it's the same kind of thing. You know, these are, you know, no one knows what they are. He said, oh, no one knows what these are. These, they call the Cherokee call them the little people. Well, we went up there, and the first night we went up there, you know, I thought I was very skeptical about seeing them. And these lights show up, and they float across the horizon. They're down in the valley. You can see them, and I could have swore they were car lights. And he's like, no, there's no roads over there. And we went out and hiked it with some of my students, and sure enough, we got to Thomas Divide, and there's no way a car could get out there, let alone a four-wheeler or anything else like that. I mean, you have to hike it in. It's 5.5 miles in, 5.5 miles out. And we've seen the lights when we got to the area that we'd seen the lights before from the Thomas Divide lookout. And we could see these, and like when you see them, you just can't fathom how big they are. But they're enormous, like up close. When you see them from a distance, you're looking about 8 miles straight as the crow flies. But they are very crazy. Like they just float across. We see them light up, like shoot straight up. I got pictures of this as well. And we took some of my students out there. And we've seen them, we all seen them, and they thought they were car lights too until we took them over there. And we did a C5 protocol up there with two Stephen Greers. I don't know how he came across that. I've talked to several people about that. But it's where you basically meditate, and you do a, like, conscious calling is the best way I can describe it. You know, you visualize yourself, you clear your mind. I'm sure your listeners know about this, about how he does it, but We seen craft, or we seen some type of object, I don't know what it was, that flew over our head, that we had 10 of us out there. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but we've seen things that we couldn't explain. I'm not saying that it was anything from extraterrestrial or ultra-terrestrial, but I know what it wasn't. It wasn't a plane or a shooting star or anything like that.
Okay, that's very, very interesting. I want to ask Robin McCray. Robin has a lot of experience with UFO sightings. Hey, Robin, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Do you have any comments about his story?
Well, you know, I've always been interested in, you know, I heard about the brown lights. Is it Brown Mountain?
The Brown Mountain lights, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I've never made it over there. I always wanted to go over there, but I haven't made it over there. I get enough of it at my house. So it's like,
wow.
You know, but it's fascinating. I mean, I'm really intrigued by what he's saying. I can't wait to hear more as the hour goes on. But, yeah, it's unbelievable. And this stuff people don't realize, and we say this all the time when I'm on here, I sound like a parrot, the world that everybody sees and believes exists never did. It was an illusion. It's always been an illusion. What people are starting
Absolutely.
To see now with the ships and the lights and everything else and the cryptids, that's the real world. That's what's really there. Not everybody is at a level of consciousness to be able to see it and be part of it yet. but it's the reality of it. I mean, the truth can't be changed. Doesn't matter if anybody likes it or not. But the amount of shit that we get, Robin,
I want to jump in here because I guess nobody knows that I am from Burke County, North Carolina, which is the home of the Brown Mountain Range. I am from the home of the Brown Mountain Lights. And, yes, I have seen them with my parents. And my dad wasn't quite so severe about them. He said, well, son, I don't know what they are, but we have seen them. They are very, very real.
I've never seen them. I've gone out there before and set hours at a time and never seen them. The difference between the Thomas Divide lights is I've never been up to the divide without seeing them, unless it was haze or fog or cloudy that I couldn't see across the way. But I've seen them every single time I've gone up there.
Well, that's interesting.
See here.
And I'll tell you what. Yes, Robin, please continue.
No, you're fine. No, I was just going to tell him, like, with me, I was so small when the abduction started that I just, like, don't ever remember not having that kind of activity. And so it's like it's been nothing for me to see a ship come down in the yard and then have missing time or be abducted from the house or, you know, and – I've got photos of ships. I've got photos of ETs that were sleeping out in the grass and, you know, all kinds of crazy things. But that's just my normal life. But I've always wanted to go. Like I said, I'd heard about the Brown Mountain Lights, and I thought that would be really intriguing. You know, as time has gone by, the UFO activity is just right, especially right now, this particular time, is off the charts everywhere. It's never been as active as it is right now.
I'm going to back you up on that. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I 100%, I think people, I think it's becoming, people are more likely to be looking up in the sky than down at their phones now as a whole. And I think you're right. I think that the together consciousness is rising to that. Everybody's starting to look up now.
Well, Spencer, I have a photo of a triangular-shaped craft outside of my above my garage. Underneath of it is a portal that's open, and there's a head coming out of it.
Wow. No, I've never seen anything like that before.
You know what? Are you on Facebook?
Yes.
I will send you a friend's request. I will send it to you. Okay. But it's like I have pictures of the cryptids and of the lizard man and various things and different portals and stuff. But this is stuff that goes on all the time. We had one here, and we've talked about it on the show before, back in December, and my son-in-law actually filmed it and sent it over to MUFON, and they said it was a Class 1 sighting. It was not terrestrial at all, that they investigated it. But it was this huge craft, and it actually released another craft off the back of it. But,
wow.
I mean, this is you're talking about that.
Robin, this is Dr. John. Are you talking about that video that you sent me?
Yeah, in the stills.
It was incredible. That was incredible.
It really was. I wish I would have taken – I didn't have the foresight through the years when the crafts would land because, I mean, I had one that looked like molten lava. It was just – it was saucer-shaped, but it looked like lava. And as it got to the bottom, lower onto the craft, it got darker. And I was on the phone with someone that had contact with the government. We were discussing the situation with the Sasquatch, and I watched it land. And then it was like an hour and 45 minutes later, and I was back where I was supposed to be. It was very confusing, very odd. And, you know, I've been abducted from my home before. This has been going on my whole life. But I've seen so many different UFOs. I mean, I've been outside and actually been levitated off the ground. And, you know, people just don't realize how common it is. Most people don't want to come forward because they don't want to be ridiculed. They don't want to be made a spectacle. And they don't want the government coming in to tell them that it's not happening when you know darn well it is. And it's just, it's insane, you know, as far as the amount. but they're not just coming from the galactics. They're already here. We've got ETs underground. We've got ETs that are walking among us. I've been briefed from another race of ETs on how they even do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is stuff that's been going around forever, but I think it's just at an all-time high. You know, people are finding out that the world is not what we thought.
I agree with that. I also found out that the more people that we have involved with the collective consciousness, we had better results every time, that there's more of us that were on the same page, you know, not the skeptics that were kind of, you know, like, yeah, but the guys that were really, you know, open-minded to trying it, we had better success with it every time. The more people we had, the better success we had with it.
Yeah. We had, my husband was outside with my son-in-law one night, and there was a certain time at that point that it was a ship, and it was bright white light, and it would come every night. And that particular night, two of them were there. And then I think a third one came, but anyway, my husband, just to see what it would do, took a big flashlight and was doing, like, light flashes to it, and they were responsive. They were responding to it.
Yeah,
Pat did that. I'm like, are you kidding me right now? All the ET attacks I've had, I mean, I deal with the good ones, I deal with the bad ones. I've done healing work on the good ones, and I've leveled the bad ones. But the thing of it is you know, I'm like, I'm seriously considering, you know, you're in, like... We're like our own little Skinwalker Ranch here, and I'm like, and you're going to flash for the ETs, please, really? We don't need any more than what we got.
Now, you said you've had interaction with these things. What are the bad ones? What would you consider the bad ones?
There was an attack on myself. I believe it was organized through the Dracos. I ended up in intensive care. But also I've had them where they seem to think I know something, and whatever it is I know is locked in my head. I don't know what it is. And I literally woke up and been paralyzed, not able to move, not be able to speak, and had been standing at my end of my bed, on the side of my bed, and put this thing over my head. And I had to really, because like I started to panic like anybody would, I had to really take myself mentally out of that situation and do what I was taught to do by the Sasquatch, and just, it got rid of them all, and it took care of it. But, yeah, I mean, they're relentless. Now, my last abduction I had was this past May, and that one I think was even more terrifying than any other encounter, but I don't remember any. The thing that's weird about it is when they did it, I was wide awake. I knew it was coming. I read energy. I could feel it before it ever happened. There was a flash of light in the room. I stayed awake specifically because I knew what was coming. And then next thing I knew, it was like 4 or 5 hours later. And I had, like, there was damage done. My cell phones that were sitting next to the nightstand were damaged. My slippers were tossed all over the place. I had marks on me. My clothes were on inside out. But the thing of it was, I didn't remember till the next night I started having flashbacks. I didn't feel anything negative off of them. I actually felt compassion. And it was fun. That wasn't what was so terrifying to me. What was terrifying to me is, I've had missing time. That's happened on and off my whole life, and it's just a blank. It's just a memory you don't memorize. You know, you can't remember it. What are you going to be afraid of? If you don't remember it, how can you be afraid? This was entirely different. This was not missing time. I did not exist in the time span that I was gone. I mean, I've been taken all over the place before. This was 100% different, and it really, really traumatized me. And I don't know why, because I don't have any memory of them hurting me. I don't have any memory of them doing anything that they shouldn't do. You know, I mean, granted, my clothes were messed up and, you know, inside out, and I had marks on me and stuff, but I don't remember them harming me in any way, shape, or form. And what I do remember of them, I didn't get a feeling of ill intent, but I did not exist in that time. And it sounds absolutely ludicrous when you say it, but that is what is so terrifying, because before, when I've had missing time, it was simply missing time. It's just like a blacked out, you know, time place that you don't remember. And it's like, why get worked up about it? If you don't remember it, how in the world is it going to be so scary? But there's a difference in missing time and not existing. And that really was difficult for me. I think as many times as I've been taken, and I've had some that have been terrifying, I've had some that have been not as terrifying, but I've never had any that upset me to that point. I couldn't sleep for almost 3 days afterwards because I was not going to go to sleep. But I wasn't asleep when they took me. Like, I was wide awake, and the next thing I know, it's, you know, hours later, and I've got broken electronic devices, my clothes are inside out, and I felt like I had been drugged, you know. And then the next night, I remembered the flash, and I was, something told me I needed to look at this movie, and I was like, what? So I turned it on. I still haven't watched the movie, but in the first part of it, somebody had a flash of light and then was taken. And as soon as it showed that flash of light on the screen, I started having memories of it. And they were very different than the ones that normally come. And I don't know what race these were, but they were all black. And they were not demonic. They were not evil. They were just, that was the coloration on them. There was some at the end of the bed, and there was one that came out of my ensuite bathroom. And when the one came out of the ensuite bathroom, he waved his hand across the floor, and all these holes showed up. And there wasn't even holes. It looked like planets, but they were all blacked. They were blacked out like it was a map on my floor. And the other night, and this was random, Pat and I had turned on a show. I can't remember which one it was, and it was about ETs. And it was an older one, and the gentleman said he drew a drawing of the ones that had taken them, and I looked at that, and I just about died. I told Pat, I said, that is exactly what was there. And of all the creepy ones, I mean, I've been, you know, the insectoids have come after me. I've had ones that look like praying mantis. I've had, you know, the Draco, the grays, the tall, the whites, what all. This was altogether different. It wasn't like any of them. So it was definitely bizarre.
Do you know what they want?
Yeah, apparently there's some information I have, but I, to be honest with you, I don't know what it is. I don't even have a way to access it. All the Bigfoots ever say is that it's in my head. Don't worry, they didn't get it. And I'm like, okay. I said, can it hurt anybody? And they said, yeah, if they find out the information. But I don't know what this information is. And I would say that, you know, possibly the Sasquatch are wrong, except that's what they always ask me. They're always telling me to tell them the information. I'm like, I don't know what information you want. I don't. I mean, and quite honestly, even if I did, I probably wouldn't give it to them. But I don't know what it is, and I don't know how to access it. The one thing I have learned in this massive paranormal journey that I've been on since the day I was born is that nothing happens until it's supposed to. Like, I've got all these crazy abilities that I never even knew I had, and there's no playbook for them, and I don't even know I have them until something happens, and all of a sudden I can do something, and I'm like, oh, cool, you know, I didn't know I could do that. Or one of the cryptids will say, I need you to go and do this, and I'm like, well, that's good, you better find another girl, because this one doesn't know how to do that, and they're like, yeah, you do. You'll know. When it's time, it'll happen, and it always does. So, you know, whether or not that's the situation with it, I don't know. But they won't tell me what it is I'm supposed to know. I have no clue. But I know that they've damn near killed me for it. And the ones that came the night at the end of my bed and next to my bed, it felt like an upside-down colander, you know, like for spaghetti noodles, only it was cold and it was alive, and it felt almost like a slimy, rubbery thing, and it had tentacles. And they put it on my head, and I just remember these tentacles going all over my face, and I had slimy stuff all over my face. I couldn't breathe because these things were all over my face. And I started to panic, and I thought, why are you panicking? Okay, you teach people every day how to protect yourself from this stuff. Just do it. Like, practice what you preach. And so I had to, like, just try to pretend they weren't there and do what I was trained to do, and it worked. Will that always work? I can't say that it's always going to work. I mean, it's, you know, it has for now. But, you know, there's some of them, there's a lot of them that are good, but they're not all good.
Well, that is true. Now, Dr. Trey, do you have any questions for Spencer so far? Because we want him to get to some of his other experiences at Skinwalker Ranch.
Yeah, I
want to
hear.
Would you mind?
What I like in particular, as I usually do, if it's witnessed by more than one person and their observations correlate with each other, that really does add up.
Absolutely. Yeah,
it adds a whole dimension where it's not just somebody telling a story. If you have witnesses and they see the same thing you saw, that's
exactly.
Impressive.
Yeah, a lot of my students, when I told them what we were doing, they're like, come on now, coach, this sounds crazy. I'm like, just give it a shot, give it a try. And we had two of them that didn't, once it started happening, they, you know, we were listening to the protocol and trying to focus our minds and doing this. And then this cone, yellow cone thing flew over our head, and then it was like a flash of light, and we all, like, I'm the first one that said, like, let's go, it's time to go, and they're like, no, hold up, this is what we came here for, and it was pretty intense, especially, like you said, when everybody sees the same thing, you know, so.
Spencer, I do have a question.
People we've had. Go ahead.
When you saw these objects, did you see light, or did you see solid physical crack?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It looked like a pine cone, the thing that flew over. Like, now, the actual divide lights, those look like lights in the distance. Like, they look like they're floating across. It could be like, you would think it would be tail lights or something, but you know where you're at, and there's no roads to where you're looking at. And then whenever we did the CE5 protocol, there was a pine cone shaped orange thing that flew above us, and then it was a bright light, but it was like a plasma. It didn't look like a solid object. It looked like a plasma. Like, we all agreed it looked like a pine cone, an orange pine cone, and then we seen a bright light after that as it flew over our head behind the mountain.
But the orange coloration was coming from, was emanating from the object. It wasn't something painted orange.
Yes. No. It was like glowing orange.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Now, when you've done the protocol, Spencer, have you actually had where you've actually seen
aliens? That's what I was taught. I've never seen any beings whatsoever. Never. Have I ever had an experience like that? Just always objects or craft or I don't know what they were, but I know what they weren't, and that's why I tell everybody. So, like, everybody that's gone out to see them, like, we always see the Thomas Divide lights. We always see those. But whenever we had larger groups of us, you know, when there's been, like, several of us, the chances of having experiences have been greater every time that we've had large groups of us doing it. My wife doesn't like to partake in it because she thinks it's demonic. So, but that's her Southern Baptist upbringing. So,
well, that's her upbringing, and we certainly understand.
Yeah, and there could be something to that, but I don't know. I know that Tom DeLong said that you should be careful what you're doing, calling out to, because you don't know what you're calling out to. You're opening yourself up for anything to come in.
Yeah, when people meditate a lot, and that's wonderful. Meditation can be beautiful, you know. It can help center you. It can help calm you. You can do a lot of things. But I know, like, the people that I work with and stuff and that come to me for help, the first thing when they tell me that's what they're doing is I teach them how to read energy, because energy doesn't lie. So you can be in a meditative state and feel the energy and know whether or not is this something ill-intended. I mean, because anything bad can come to you and lie to you and say it's something it's not.
Right. Well,
you know,
we have,
I mean, you're completely
one of my
open.
Students, yeah. One of my students is an energy worker. She's a massage therapist who's been out there with us before, who has seen these things as well. And she said that she's had experiences before when she lived up north. But, like, she's 100% on board with, you know, with verifying that this is something that's real or that happened. So, but she
yeah.
isn't energy work and feels the negative energy or positive energy, whatever you want to call it. But I have no idea. I never got one sense one way or the other. It just, it flips me out, even though I go out there to look for it. And but whenever I see it, it scares the crap out of you. Well, it scares the crap out of me. So.
All right. I tell you what, I've got to take a short moment to say we're proud to be brought to you on WLSC AM and FM, Loris, Conway, and Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the home of Banana Jack in the Morning. And Banana Jack and Marshall Biddle, the Attorney General of Scary Cast, in the afternoon from 3 to 5 on the drive time. So please listen to us on tigerradio.com if you don't catch it here tonight. But then if you're listening to this, you're going to catch it. Oh, gosh. What a conundrum we got. Anyway, back to you, Spencer. Thank you.
You got it.
And Spencer, I tell you what, if you wouldn't mind, I would really like for us to get to your Skinwalk Ranch story.
Okay.
Because to be honest
well,
with you, I don't know anyone that's ever been to Skinwalker Ranch. I thought that was a private affair.
It is a private affair. And I got hooked up from a guy. I'm sure everybody's familiar with him, but I probably better not say his name out there because he I don't know if he wants this attention, but I got a hold of him on Facebook, and I talked to him about going out there, and I knew it was off limits to go onto the property, but he put me in touch with a lady whose property, it goes from her property, she has a horse stable property, and then it's tribal land, and then their actual ranch, and I got in touch with her, and she said that we could set up camp on her property. So, and then whatever we did was on our own, you know, like we had to deal with the consequences of it. She wasn't a believer, but she said she could explain everything, but we went out there, except for the cattle mutilations. She said she couldn't explain that, but everything else she said she could, she had a rhyme or reason why it was going on or what was going on. But we went out the first time. I took a friend that I've known for 15 years and a guy that the other person from out there put me in touch with, a college kid. And I've never met the kid before in my life, but agreed to pay for his trip and take him out if he would show me the secret spots to get as close to the ranch as possible without crossing any borders. And the guy that I knew for 15 years had a mental breakdown, and it got pretty hectic, and had to get him escorted away. And it, even to this day, it's still a battle to deal with him. But we got out there, and we seen a light go across the field, and we don't know if that was from what they were doing, whether they were doing tests out there, but we got a picture of it. And then the picture, it just looked like a blue smudge on the camera because it was at night. It was on my phone. But going back to the place that we had set up camp, we saw a pair of eyes. We had these lamps on our head, and we saw a pair of eyes, and it scared the crap out of me. And I said, "You see that?" And we looked back, turned the regular flashlight on, and it was gone. And we ended up sleeping in the car that night because we were too afraid to sleep on the ground. And then that was all of that for that trip. And then me and three of my students went out there again, I think it was like last year. And the video is online, actually, of our last hurrah that we went out there. And we got to meet up with the ex-sheriff that was on the episode of Skinwalker Ranch. We talked about the cattle and the bullpen, and he told us that story, took us around, showed us spots where people had cattle mutilations, and showed us all the spots, the hot spots that were just not just on the ranch, but the entire Utah Basin. And he took us around and showed us a bunch of places that stuff had happened. But then we got ran off by the tribal police. So they told us not to hunt something that would hunt us back, and that was good enough to go. So I'm going to go to bed. My daughters just came here. They're supposed to be in bed. So.
I'm trying to go to bed.
But sorry about that.
All right, no, that's great. That was really good. Kyler, do you have a question for Spencer?
If you are okay with sharing what happened to your friend with his mental breakdown, I would love to hear it. If not, I totally understand.
I'd seen it with my own eyes. He got 666 on his receipt and absolutely had a mental breakdown, and we had to call the police, and the police had to come and arrest him because he was acting belligerent and trying to fight, and he thought he just thought that it was evil and that we were part of it, and just like I said, I and Kyle both was the gentleman's name. I had never met Stephen, the other guy that we took out with us, that we had never met, that the person from that had been on the ranch before was sent us out with, you know, I know this is getting confusing, but Kyle was one of my friends that I've known for about 15 years. He just had a complete meltdown and could not come back around. And to this day, we haven't spoken because he is convinced that it was complete evil in that place, and he just thinks that we were into some cahoots about it. So
do you think that it's possible that there was just some enormous amount of negative energy that may have taken him over and just completely, I don't even know how you would word that, because, I mean, I wasn't there, but... Yeah, it sounds like, I mean, if you've known him for that long and you've never seen this, obviously something had to have...
Never in my life have I ever seen him break down. You know? Like, he was a guy that I trained, you know, and, like, I had spent time... He actually lived with me for 2 or 3 years back in Iowa, and just completely lost it. I mean, when I say lost it, I mean, that's an understatement. I mean, I'm not going to get into a lot of details of it, but, like, it was so bad that we had to call the police, so... But he was convinced that it was evil and that we were out to get him.
So the guy that you guys joined in with, did he have any experiences like that?
He said that when we got there, we were, you know, we drive all that way out there, and we drove all the way from North Carolina all the way out there. And, you know, you're not supposed to go on to the ranch, you know, and they make that perfectly clear. But we were trying to get as close as we could to it without breaking any laws. But come to find out that trespassing is trespassing, you know, and we got the boundaries as close as we could to get out there. And we did see one blue orb and then a pair of eyes, but that was the extent of it. But like when we shined our light on it, there was nothing there, nothing. Our headlamps picked it up, but when we turned the flashlight on it, nothing ran off. It was completely gone, just vanished.
So I'm guessing you probably feel like you guys were given some sort of warning, and it was well. Way more than you expected.
Well taken. Yeah, it was. The one guy had said that he had had negative interactions for 6 months after that. Like, it took me a lot of persuading to get him to go out there back with me. You know, and then my friend had the breakdown. It wasn't a pretty picture, you know. But I still haven't. This was like 3 years ago, the first trip was, and I still not spoken to the guy that had the breakdown.
That's what I was just about to ask you. You said first trip. So you had this happen and decided to go back. That is what's haunting me right now.
Yeah. Well, you know, you don't get the, you know, like your mind plays lots of tricks on you and you second guess everything. And we went back out a second time and we actually ate lunch with Thomas Winterton, the superintendent from the ranch. I took him out to lunch. And, of course, I asked the question everybody else asked, can I get on there? What is it going to take for me to get on there? And it's just, it's not allowed unless you go through higher chain of command. So, but we were
higher
on the Navy.
Chain of command.
Yeah, like you have to talk to Brenna Fugel before you can get on to the actual property.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's the one who owns it. So. But I don't guess it's completely off limits because I know he's let other celebrities on there. So
I feel like every time someone's asked to get on there, something has happened to where he just doesn't even think about it anymore.
Right. So I'm sure there's been a ton of people, and I've seen other videos that people did exactly the same thing we did. That went up to the property lines that bordered the property, you know, and got the, you know, see things. And you can look down onto the property. You can see all the gate pins that they have out there. You go up on this knoll and you can look down. You're looking down into the ranch. So
that's another thing that kind of gets to me, too, is if this place is so dangerous and so restricted, why was it such a popular vote to put it out there where everyone can see it?
Well, the reason they did it originally to let the information out is because they were trying to find other places that were like the ranch, you know, what other places in the world that were like that. And they were thinking, you know, and they, from what I understand, they did find other places that were similar to Skinwalker Ranch.
Did they happen to tell you about any of them?
No, I didn't.
And I can tell you about one of them, and that is in Alabama, because we had a gentleman that is in the process of investigating it on our last ScaryCast Tuesday. It was kind of interesting. So, I mean, we've got, you know, we at least are in the know that there's a Skinwalker Ranch type place in Alabama, and we'll have the guy on there again, and we'll see if we can talk to him about it. We'll bring him on here. I mean, I just think this is, it's all so interesting. There are paranormal
hotspots
areas. Now, Robin, can you speak to that? There are, to your knowledge, a lot of paranormal entities in areas that, you know, things like this happen, right?
Yeah, definitely. And the thing is you get these highly concentrated areas. And it's like where one's at, they all flock there. They all feed off each other. They're all energy based. And they do.
I know of one other place that's in Maine. I know that there's a place in Maine that has similar type stuff that's going on out there.
Well, and you can take two and see in these areas, and this isn't always the case, but in a large amount of cases, find out where the ley lines are at. You find this in a lot of heavily areas with ley lines. If it's not the ley lines, check and see what's in the ground. What kind of rocks are in there? Is there selenite in there? Is there crystals underground? I mean, you would be amazed how much that matters. All this stuff is energy-based. It craves energy. It needs energy to do what it does. It needs it to shapeshift. It needs it to portal. It needs the energy, and a lot of times you would be amazed where it just looks like it's a deserted, dead land of nothingness, and you get in that soil and you find out what kind of rocks and stones are in there, whether it's granite, whether it's quartz. It has a lot to do with it. I mean, there's some cases that it's just an anomaly and it is what it is, but a lot of times when you get digging far enough down into it, you find out that there's a correlation.
Well, I know it's also all around the basin because we talked to some locals there that had some pictures that they wouldn't share. They wouldn't let us take the pictures off their phone, but were pretty interesting. So.
Wow.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just amazing.
So let
me ask you this. I would like for you to come back in December and to talk more about this. The reason I say December is we are booked through November. So Spencer, would you like to come back and tell us a little bit more about all this? Would that be cool?
Yeah, sounds good to me.
Okay, great. And I want to see about engineering a trip up there to the Thomas Divide with you. So I'm going to talk with you about that next week or later this week. And see what we can do. So all I've got to say is this has been so much fun having you back on here. You were a great guest two times, and now you're going to I want to get you back here frequently, and I want us to talk about the Thomas Divide. I've got a lot of things that I can say about it that I've heard from the Cherokees. And in fact, I'd like to come up there. If I could come up there, would you take me and maybe some of your students up there and let me experience that?
Yeah, 100%. You could drive up there yourself, you know, but I could take you right out to Thomas Divide Lookout. And once you pull up to the look-off, you can just park your car, turn the lights off, and you can see them across the bluff. So, but I'd be
I would rather go up with the guy that knows about them, with you, and let's experience that together and get a group, and maybe some of our scary casters might come up. I don't know. But we'll see.
Okay.
So all I got to say is it's been great having you on the show. We're almost at our witching hour, which is 10 o'clock Eastern time, 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. And I wanted to thank you for being here with us. And first of all, I want to thank the Queen of Scarycast. What do you have to say in conclusion?
Spencer, it was wonderful to meet you. I really could listen for hours about the things that you've witnessed. I really could. I'm so glad you're coming back in December because I feel like we just started touching the surface.
Absolutely. I'd be more than happy to.
Yeah,
well,
it was
great
to meet you, and I look forward to talking to you more.
You got it.
I tell you what, it was great when Spencer and his wife came over to see me at the Space Expo, and I'm glad we're friends, and I'm glad we're going to start working together to maybe do, some events together and everything, because I think it'd be a lot of fun. So thanks a lot. Dr. Trey, I'm sorry, please go ahead.
I'm sorry, John. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Spencer, I'll find you on Facebook, and I'll send that photo to you.
You got it. Thank you.
Robin, I would love to see that, too. I almost forgot to mention.
Okay, yeah, because I'm trying to find everybody. Okay, I think I got Spencer here. Yeah, it says Spencer Fisher, paranormal researcher, correct?
Yep, that's it.
Okay, Marshall, what's yours under? Then I'll send it to you, too. What is your name under? Huh?
Whose?
Were you asking Kyler?
Or Tyler, sorry. How do I spell it?
Oh, yeah, sorry. It's Kyler, K-Y-L-E-R Smith.
Okay. And then I'll be glad to send it to you.
Okay.
There's
awesome.
Two of them.
Thank you.
One's in Texas, and then there's another one as well.
He's in Texas. Don't mess with Texas,
okay,
right, Kyler?
There's actually three Spencer Fishers, and two of us have paranormal researcher underneath their names, but mine is the one with my daughter is my profile picture and her hunting gear.
Okay.
So that's great. That's the community of Scary Cat. All right, and Dr. Trey Dunaway, I'm going to give you the last word. Is that okay? And Dr. Trey, you might not be with us, but that's okay. But we've had a great time on ScaryCast tonight. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks, Kyler. Thanks, thanks, Dr. Trey. Thanks, Robin. And we'll be back next week. We got another great show. I can't remember who it is. We've got another great show on ScaryCast. So everybody, have a good one, and we will see you next time. Goodbye, Robin.
You got it.
Take care.
Bye, guys.
Goodbye, Kay, and goodbye, Spencer, and goodbye, Kyler. And as soon as I can figure it out, yes, we can end the episode. So here we go, and thank you.